Name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and it's a honor, joy, privilege of being in his presence to worship and to magnify his name. And truly the Lord is good and is faithful, and his mercies endure it forever. Amen. And God is good. Amen. God has been good and he's always been good. And in fact, today is Pentecost Sunday, and is the birth of the church, the first church. And for many years we have been celebrating Pentecost, and I believe that without the Spirit of God we can do nothing. And we depend upon the Spirit of God, the Spirit of liberty, the Spirit of power, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of guidance. And throughout the centuries and throughout the years, we believe that the Holy Spirit has guided and led the church from victory unto victory. And many of us celebrated Pentecost for many years now. And we believe in the Spirit of God, and we believe in the power of God. We believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world. We believe that Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. We believe that Jesus is coming again. And this is our firm foundation, that we can believe that Christ is the Redeemer and he is the one that came to set mankind free. And it's when we look at the songs even we sang today, it's all because of Jesus' death, finished work on Calvary, that we could be that we could call upon his name and have a relationship with him. And it's because of his love. And this is why God loves you and he cares for you. And he loves each and every one of us in a unique and a special way. And this is why you are special, you are unique, and you mean a lot for God. And this is why he sent his son Jesus even to pay that sacrifice for each and every one of us. And God never rejects anyone that comes to him. And he that comes to God is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And even as you come to him, he has a great purpose and he has a great plan even for your life. Just trust in him and just hold on to that promise and hold on to that belief that God has great things in store for your life. You may be going through some stuff, you may be going through some problems, whatever difficulties you see, it might be. The Bible says in Matthew 11 verse 20, come to me, all ye weary and heavy laden. You don't have to carry those burdens. You don't have to carry those heaviness. You don't have to carry those things on your shoulder. God is saying to you, lay it at my feet, lay it at the cross. He has paid the price for your sins. He has paid your price for your burdens. He said, cast your burdens unto me because I care for you. There was a lady in Africa, and she was standing on the road with a basket on her head waiting for someone to give her a lift. And a man stopped the car with an open van, and she jumped in the back of the van, and the driver continued to drive. But when he looked through the rearview mirror, he saw the lady sitting in the back of the van with still the basket on her head. And this is some of us. We are carrying our burdens. We are carrying the problems wherever we are going. So Jesus is giving us invitation. Come to me, he says, come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden. And he says, I will give you rest. You don't have to carry those heaviness. You don't have to carry those burdens, the anxiety, the stress, the worry, the depression. You don't have to meditate on those things. God is saying to you, come to me and you'll find the rest that I have for you in Christ Jesus. So God loves you, and no matter what you're going through, he has a very special plan for your life. This morning I'm going to read from Matthew, from John chapter 7 and verse number 37. John chapter 7 and verse number 37. And these are on the last day, that great day of the feast. Jesus stood and cried out and saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the scripture says, out of his heart will flow rivers of living waters. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. We see that the feast, this was the Feast of Tabernacles, and this was one of the major feasts, Jewish feasts that was commanded in the Old Testament. This feast actually lasted for 7 days and remembered the Israelites' journey through the wilderness after the experience where God delivered the Israelites from the land of Egypt. And during that time, they lived in temporary shelters, completely dependent on God's provision for food, water, and protection. By the time of Jesus, this feast was become rich with symbolic rituals, and one key tradition was daily that the water pouring ceremony. Each morning, a priest would draw water from the pool of Siloam and carry it into the procession to the temple, and there he poured the water on the altar. And this act reminded of the Israelites of the wandering in the wilderness for 40 years and how God provided water from a rock for the Israelites. And this is the Feast of the Tabernacles. And this act reminded the people of their deliverance from the land of Egypt and how God took care of them. And they looked forward for the future outpouring of God's Holy Spirit. And it was the last and it was the greatest day of the feast. And yet Jesus stood and cried out and he said, if anyone is thirsty, he said, let him come to me and drink. And he says, he who believes in me, as the scripture says, out of his bellies will flow rivers of living waters. So yeah, Jesus during this time of this festival and during this time of the feast, he stands up and he says, if anyone is thirsty, because Jesus, when Moses struck the rock in the wilderness, water came out of the rock, and Jesus is the true rock. And he's trying to say to you, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. This was a bold and stunning proclamation, and Jesus was declaring himself that he was the fulfillment of the water pouring ritual. Just as God has quenched the Israelite thirst in the wilderness, Jesus now offers to quench our spiritual thirst with the gift of the Holy Spirit. So you may be feel this morning, someone may be feel like they are in the wilderness experience, where you feel that your life is dry, barren, unfruitful, and you feel like wandering in the desert without a purpose and without a hope, and you may see satisfaction in success and relationships or pleasures, but still find your soul parched. And Jesus offers something different, not just a temporary relief, but an eternal overflowing source of life, which is the Holy Spirit. Remember that Jesus, when he encountered the woman at the well, and he said to the woman that whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, talking about the well. And he said, but whoever drinks the water that I give will become a fountain of everlasting life. So Jesus is the one that gives us this everlasting life. And today your life may be thirsty, and as I said, you may be seeking satisfaction from the things of this world, but it's only temporary. But Jesus is offering a life that is satisfied for life eternal, life everlasting. And he said to the woman that whoever drinks of this water, you'll never thirst. And God is saying to us, if you come to me and you come, you are weary and you are heavy laden, and you come to me, you will never thirst. The Feast of Tabernacles was a celebration of God's faithfulness in the past and a hope for the future present. And in Jesus, both are fulfilled, because he is the water of life, he is the river of life, and he is the fountain of life. And he says, if anyone is thirsty, come to me and drink. He is the source of true living waters, the one who talks with us in our dry places and makes our heart fruitful again. And if your soul is thirsty, come to Jesus and drink. Jesus is not just offering religion, rituals, or rules. He's offering himself. He says, come to me. Come to Jesus. And he's the only one that we can find true satisfaction. As I said, many people find fulfillment in wealth, in relationships, in achievements, pleasures, but these things leave the soul dry. But Jesus only offers water that will last forever for a thirsty soul. So if you are thirsty, he's saying, come to me. I am the river of life. I am the fountain of life. You come to me. And he says, out of his bellies will flow rivers of living waters. He spoke of the Holy Spirit. He spoke of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the key is that Jesus not only saves, but he fills. He does not just offer forgiveness, but fullness, his own living Holy Spirit. So he gives us the Holy Spirit to those who are thirsty. And the key is, you come to Jesus. The mistake that we make, we go to people for seeking satisfaction and seeking fulfillment. There's nothing wrong sometimes. But our greatest mistake is that when we trust these people and not in Christ himself. And Christ is the one. He's saying, you come to me and you find this fulfillment. We find in the Gospels, we find that Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. John the Baptizer said in Matthew chapter 3 verse 11 and Mark 1 verse 8 and in Luke 3 verse 16 and in John 1 verse 33 he says, I baptize you water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And this points clearly to the one Jesus immerses us with the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. No prophet, no priest, no teacher, not even me that can baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Not even me can give you this living water, this water that will satisfy your life forever. This is life changing. It can change your life forever. It can transform your life forever. My wife said she went for a meeting yesterday, for a women's meeting. And she said there was a young teenager, I think it's about the age of 14, he gave his life to Jesus recently in the UK. And he gave his life to Jesus and he went home and he said to his mother, you know what, I went to the church and the minister said, if anyone needs Christ, come. And I felt that God has filled me with his Spirit. And he said, Mom, could you please buy me a box of Bibles? And so my mom thought maybe he needs one Bible. Said, I'll buy you a Bible. He said, no, I want you to buy me 100 Bibles. Then the mom said, what do you want the Bible? Said, no, just buy me those Bibles. So the mom played along and she went and she bought the Bibles. And then next week came, he said, Mom, could you please give me a lift to the school? The mom asked why. He said, I can't carry the 100 box of Bibles to school. And so the mom said, oh, okay. The mom was a bit surprised. And she gave him the lift because he said, I can't carry it. And so he went to the school. And he was, during the lunchtime, he stood on the table and he said, everyone, I want you to know, the other day I met a bloke that really transformed and changed my life. And he filled me with satisfaction. I don't know much about him, and I can feel his Spirit. He has a Bible that he will tell you everything about him. And within a few minutes, the whole 100 Bibles were taken. So he said to his mom, he went home to his mom and said, you know what, I don't know anything about Jesus myself. And I'm going to the Bible studies to learn about Jesus. So he went to the Bible studies Monday. The Tuesday he went back and the people came to him and said, we want to learn more about Jesus. So he said, okay, come to my house. I will teach you about Jesus. Yeah, this person doesn't even know the Bible itself. Yeah, he's teaching the Bible. And it happened recently in this country. So the Spirit of God is moving. The Holy Spirit is moving. The power of Jesus is the only one can find this true satisfaction. As the satisfaction came to this young boy, where God has satisfied him. He can satisfy your soul. He can satisfy your life and radically transformed your life. I personally know there was a person that I knew. He was a drug addict and one night, it was Friday night, and he was high on drugs and alcohol, and he had a severe headache. And he saw these people praying in the church. And he said, no, let me go and let me ask them to pray for my headache. But when he went to the church, they prayed for him. He got delivered from the alcohol. He got delivered from the drugs. He got delivered that same night. He was completely changed and satisfied by the power of the Holy Spirit. God is the only one can satisfy us. He can satisfy the longing and the thirst. And if you come to Him, He will able to satisfy you. He's able to give you this new life. When Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost, remember Peter was scared, he was afraid, he was one of the disciples that could say anything. But when the Holy Spirit came upon his life, God transformed his life. Remember, three days later, he was cursing Jesus. He's saying, I don't know him. Did you know that? Yeah, Peter, cursing Jesus, swearing and saying filthy languages. But yeah, a few days later, 10 days, on the 50th day, when the power of the Holy Spirit came upon his life was transformed just like that. And who Jesus used? Jesus used Peter, a person that was messed up, to become the leader of the first Christian church. So that is why we see when people that are messed up, God has a purpose and God has a plan for them. So that is why we judge nobody, we speak evil of nobody, because God loves them and God has a purpose and He can work in their lives where we cannot work. And He can change and transform their lives. So the Holy Spirit is the one, Jesus is the one that God offers a true satisfaction. He said, if anyone comes to me, out of his bellies will flow rivers of living waters. This promise, this is a powerful promise. If you come, he said, come to me and drink. The living waters refers to the Holy Spirit. And this was a prophetic word pointing out to what will happen after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, when the Holy Spirit was poured out on Pentecost. So as I said, we have Pentecost today. We have the Spirit of God because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. So there is no Pentecost without the crucifixion. So Jesus said the Holy Spirit was not yet come because he was not yet glorified. How was Jesus glorified? Through his death, burial, and resurrection, when he was highly exalted by the Father. When the Father lifted up his name, so he was highly exalted. And then the Holy Spirit came when Jesus died on the cross. And through the finished work of the Calvary, through the finished work of the cross. So the Holy Spirit wants us to have an experience and have an encounter with Him. So sometimes when we want the Holy Spirit, when we desire the Holy Spirit, we need to hunger and thirst after Him. Remember Jesus said, tarry into Jerusalem and wait till you receive the power which is from on high. The Bible said that they prayed for the 10 days. And they began to seek the face of God. They sacrificed themselves and they began to pray and seek the power of God. And the Bible says on the 50th day, the Holy Spirit came in the form of a mighty rushing wind and filled the whole house they were sitting. And each one of them were baptized with the Holy Spirit and with power. And yet Peter, when he stood up and he preached, 3,000 people were saved and began to get and be and came to know the power of Jesus. So your life as a Christian is not supposed to be boring, not supposed to be dull. There's something different about Jesus. He's a living person. He's a living and he lives within us by his Spirit. So that's why when Jesus comes into your life, he makes a difference in your life. He gives you joy in your life. He gives you peace in your life. He gives you happiness in your life. He gives you the power of the Spirit in your life. That is why being a Christian is we can experience his power in our lives. The Bible says that he fills us with joy and he fills us with his power. So God wants us to be connected with the Holy Spirit. Connect your life with the Holy Spirit. Connect your life in the presence of the Holy Spirit. So when we connect, we receive that power flowing in and through our lives. So as you see the power of God more, we need more of the Holy Spirit, more of his power, more of his anointing. To see more healing, to see more deliverance, to see people being convicted, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. And that is the only power that can change our lives. And transform our lives and make us something different. So the Holy Spirit comes. He comes with power. He comes with boldness. And he comes to anoint the church and empower the church. That healing can be take place. Deliverance can be take. Restoration can take place. That the glory of God can be manifested. So the promise is for you. The Holy Spirit is for you. Christ has given us the power. When you become a Christian, you automatically have the Holy Spirit as a person in your life. But baptism in the Holy Spirit is a further experience where experience his power, his life-giving power that flows in and through our hearts. So you can be like Peter as well. That can change and transform your life. So that is why there's something different about the Spirit of God. It changes your life. It transforms your life. It empowers your life. There was a person that was going for the, he was a thief. And he said there was a gospel meeting and he said, you know, this is a good place to steal. While the people are worshiping the Lord and praising the Lord, I'm going to steal from whatever they have, their phones and their bags and things, and money. So he went to this meeting and he thought that this is what's going to happen, that he's going to steal from people. But while he was there in the meeting, the Holy Spirit convicted him. He was the first person that came and gave his life to Jesus. That is why I'm saying there is something powerful about the Holy Spirit. And today that person is a minister of the gospel of Jesus. So that is why there's something different about the Holy Spirit that he transformed. That is why church is not supposed to be dull and boring and dried. It needs to be empowered with the Spirit of God. That is why this church is Elim Pentecostal Church. It's the rivers of the spring of rivers must flow through this church, flow through each and every one of us. There is some life that is flowing through our hearts. So the Holy Spirit can transform our lives. Recently, Yoshni spoke to someone about Christ and she gave her life back, gave her life to Christ. That lady went and spoke to someone else about Christ. That lady went and spoke to someone else about Christ and they're all serving Christ. So the Holy Spirit will transform. There is something different about Christ and the Holy Spirit. He is a living person. And where he lives in your heart. He lives on the inside of yourself. He lives on the inside. He's a living person. You can have this relationship with him. He can speak to you. He can show you things to come. Yoshini said when she was in nursing, all the nurses should come to her for prayer. And she says, the Holy Spirit should show her everything that was coming out for the exams. I said she had a head start. That is what I'm trying to say. The Holy Spirit knows everything. He knows how to guide you. He knows how to lead you. He knows how to bless you. He's your friend. He's walking with you every single day of your life. But sometimes he's like a guest in our lives. Sometimes imagine a guest coming to your house and you don't acknowledge him. And that's how we don't acknowledge Christ when he becomes part of our life. So he is the person. When you look at the book of Revelation, John writes to the seven churches. And the first church he writes and he says, I walk in the midst of you. But you know, in the last church, he says, I stand at the door and knock. We use that for evangelism. That is good. I also, many times. But he's not speaking about the unbelievers. This chapter is speaking about the church. And somewhere down the line, it seems that the church has kicked Jesus out of the church. He says, I stand at the door and knock. So we need to invite Jesus in our hidden rooms, in our hidden life, and may him become Lord and God of our life, that he become a living person in your life. The Holy Spirit can transform your life and change you into the image and likeness of the Christ, what Christ had called you to be. We see when Jesus died on the cross, it displayed Christ, the greatness of God's glory, greatness of love and obedience and glory. He said in John 17 verse 1, Father, the hour has come, glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you. The hour was the cross. And through his suffering, Jesus glorified the Father. For us today, this truth holds great meaning. It reminds us there is no spiritual power without the cross. We receive the Holy Spirit not by effect, but the finished work of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is not something that you can buy or you can earn. It's a gift from God. And God, this gift is for each and every one of us. It's free of charge. And he says, come and buy without money. Buy, eat and drink of me. And this gift is for each and every one of us. In Luke 24 verse 49 says, Jesus said, I will send you what my Father has promised. You will receive power from on high. You shall be clothed with power from on high. These words were spoken after Jesus' resurrection and just before his ascension. And Jesus had completed his earthly mission, but the work of the kingdom was continued through his followers, empowered by the Holy Spirit. You see, when the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples, something changed in their lives. Something dramatically changed in their lives. The church grew, the church multiplied, the church expanded. The blind were seen, the crippled were raised up, the deaf could hear, the dumb could speak. And even the dead were raised back to life. The Holy Spirit transformed and changed the early church. And the miracles can still happen today. I've seen a few times healing in my life. But we're not seeing it constantly. My brother was completely paralyzed. All his organs within him failed. And my mom phoned me to say, your brother is dying and he has 2 weeks more to live. And so I took a plane and went to South Africa. And when I saw him, it grieved my heart. It like like I was in a state of shock. That he could not walk and could not do anything for himself. And all I just said is a word of prayer, and I served him, like how we took communion today. I served him communion and we began to pray. And as I began to pray, something lifted him up from the bed. The power of God lifted him up from the bed. But because I was so exhausted, I could not understand what was happening myself. I went back to the place where I was staying. And the next day, my mom phoned me and said, please, can you come pick me up? I said, no, there's nothing wrong with me. My brother needs you more than myself. He said, no, nothing's wrong with him now. Jesus healed him. Jesus delivered him. Jesus set him free. Even I said, I told his testimony, even myself, I have suffering from asthma myself. And I used to take the pump 4 or 5 times a day. And one day I was reading the Bible in John chapter 5, and he talks about the man sitting at the pool of Bethesda waiting for the moving of the water. And to read the chapter, it takes about 5 minutes. But on that particular day, I read the chapter for 10 hours. I kept on reading the same thing over and over and over and over again. And that night, Jesus appeared in a dream and said, what do you want? I said, Lord, I want to be healed. And from that day to today, I no more have asthma. Jesus is a healer. That's what I'm saying. We have seen God's power, but it needs to be manifested on a daily basis. We need to walk with God on a daily basis and experience the power of God every day of our lives. What he did for me, he can do greater things for you. He can do greater things for the church. He can do greater things for this ministry. We need the Spirit of God. We need the power of the Holy Spirit, because the power that will empower this church to go forward. Jesus said, you'll be clothed with power from on high. It paints a picture of someone being covered, equipped, and transformed. It's like putting on this new garment. Just as clothing defines how we see and prepare for different roles, like being clothed with the Holy Spirit equips the believer for strength, boldness, and authority. This was not just a suggestion, but a vital instruction that we must be clothed with the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus knew that the disciples could not fulfill their calling to their own human strength. They needed the supernatural empowerment that only the Holy Spirit can provide. This promise was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. As believers, we are not left alone to live this Christian life with our own ability. So become a Christian. It's nothing about you. You can't live this Christian life yourself. I can't live this Christian life myself. And many of us try to live, say we are Christian, but without God and without the Word of God. We need him. I need him. And I don't need him only for today. I need him every day of my life. That is why with every second, every minute, every hour, every day we need him. He's the one that gives the life of breath. He's the one that gives us this abundant life, this eternal life, this life that is everlasting. He's the one that fills us life with this power. So you need him. I need him. I must depend upon him every day. Because without him, we can do nothing. We will fail. Jesus calls us to be clothed, covered with the power from on high. This means more than just having the Spirit within. It's about living in a daily dependence on his power. You know, when you see a policeman on the road, you see, how do you know a policeman? You see them by the outfit. When you see a nurse, how you see a nurse, you'll recognize a nurse because of the outfit they use. That's the role they have. And Christians, we also have an outfit. It's the power of the Spirit. It's the robe of righteousness. We are clothed with the clothing from on high. And that is why we are not clothed with that power. We need to be clothed. We need that power. We need the strength. I need that strength. I need that power. Not only when I'm preaching, or it's every day of my life. You need that power. You need the clothing to be. That is why you don't only become a Christian in the church. You're Christian everywhere. Even at your job, even when you're walking in the supermarket, even walking down the road, you belong to Jesus. You're clothed with the power of God. How would they recognize you when you're not clothed with that power? So the anointing of the Holy Spirit will move in your life. So the Holy Spirit can be moved supernaturally in your life. They say even the Wesley brothers, when they had great revival, even when he used to walk, they say when he used to walk past the bars and things, people were convicted by the power of the Holy Spirit because he was clothed with that power. He'd never go and preach and he'd never go and tell them what you're doing is wrong. The Holy Spirit will convict them. That is why it's not our job to say people what they're doing is wrong, because they know what they're doing is wrong. It's the Holy Spirit's job to convict them of the wrong, of the need for Christ. Because if I say, Derek, you're doing five things wrong, he say yes. But when God deals with him, God works in his life, it's a different aspect altogether. There's a transformation, there's a change completely. So the Holy Spirit brings that conviction. He convicts people of the sin, of the wrongdoing. So the Holy Spirit is the one that empowers us to do the things for God. Sometimes you don't have to say nothing. The Holy Spirit will just speak through your life and allow the Holy Spirit to work through your life that you bring transformation to the people. What this country needs, what we need, what I need, what you need, we need the Spirit of the Holy Spirit, power to flow in and through our lives. Like a garment, we must put it on by faith, through prayer and through surrender. Being clothed with the power is not a one-time event, but an ongoing lifestyle, living in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what made the first church, the day of Pentecost, successful, because they continued being full with the Holy Spirit. They continued being anointed with the Holy Spirit. And we as a church, we need to be continued to be anointed with the Holy Spirit. So Pentecost marks a defining history in the church. A powerful fulfillment of God's promise to his disciples. And before his ascension, he said to the disciples, wait till you receive the power from on high. The same promise extends to the church. In John chapter 7 and verse 37, Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, come. Come to Jesus. Not to me, come to Jesus. He is the one that only can satisfy your life. The true satisfaction is only Jesus. And what the Holy Spirit can satisfy each and every one of you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's pray this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And Jesus is giving us this invitation to come to him and experience this life-flowing Spirit moving in and through your life. Maybe you need the Spirit of God. Maybe you need God to do a new work in your life. I ask you to come to Jesus this morning. Come to Jesus. He can make a difference in your life. He can heal any situation that you are facing this morning. He can transform your life. He can change your life. Even the things that you're struggling with, only the Holy Spirit can change it. Only the Holy Spirit can transform your life. Come to the Holy Spirit, come to Jesus, and he will do a great work in your life this morning. Maybe you need prayer this morning. You can come to the front if you want. Come to Jesus and say, God, I want the Spirit of God to move in my life. I want the Holy Spirit this morning to touch my life. I want to empower me to live this Christian life this morning. I want to live this victorious life. I want the Holy Spirit's anointing to be flow through my life. This morning, if you are that person and you want to come, there's a longing and desire for the Spirit of God in your life. Come to Jesus this morning. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord Jesus, and we say thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord Jesus, and we love you. And we just magnify you, Lord Jesus. You are the river of life, Lord, the fountain of life, the giver of life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are faithful, Lord Jesus, and we worship you, Lord Jesus. And we just bless you this morning, Lord Jesus. We just honor you, Father. We just glorify you, Lord Jesus. And Father, we just want to say thank you, Father, for this time. And thank you for your presence, O God. You promised us this living waters. You promised us, O God, this abundant life, O God. We promise, O God, that rivers of water, living waters will flow through our lives, O God. And Father, we come to you this morning, Lord Jesus, and we say, Father, here's our cup, O God. Fill it up till it overflows, O God. Fill our cups up, O God, we pray this morning. And Lord, we pray that you'll help us to live this successful life, live this life, O God, of power and authority and victory, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Even the things that we battle with day to day, the things that weigh us down, the oppression, depression, suppression, Lord, the addictions, the things that we face, O God, we pray that you remove those things, O God. We pray that only the Holy Spirit can transform and change us, O God. And today you'll change somebody, Lord, by the power of your Spirit, O God. In the name of Jesus, we pray, Lord Jesus, there'll be an infilling of your Spirit, an infilling of your power, infilling of your anointing, infilling of your Spirit, O God, to demonstrate his power in your life. In the name of Jesus, we thank you that you'll demonstrate your power in this church, O God, in the name of Jesus, that signs, wonders, and miracles will be done. We pray, Lord Jesus, that the greater days are ahead of them, Lord Jesus. We pray where the sick will be healed, where people be delivered, where people be saved, and people be set free. We pray, Lord Jesus, that the place where people will experience once again your presence, O God, we pray that they experience love and joy and peace and happiness, Lord Jesus. We pray that the Spirit of God will begin to flow in this church, O God, and transform this church. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that the glory of God will just be revealed in the name of Jesus. And we pray that your anointing will just be upon the church, even upon the leadership of the church. Anoint them afresh, O God. Anoint them with the Spirit of God. Anoint them with the power of God. Anoint them with the fresh, O God. Anoint every person, Lord, that's bowed in your presence, O God. And let them experience the power of God in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray that you bless this church, O God. And we thank you, Lord, for this invitation that you've given us, Lord, from John chapter 7, Lord, where you said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And he that believes in me, as the scripture says, out of his bellies will flow rivers of living waters. This you spoke of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit has not yet come, because you have not yet been glorified. We thank you that you have been glorified on the cross. And we thank you that we have Pentecost because of the finished work of Calvary. In Jesus' name, amen.